Huge Podcast. I'm your host, John Lanier. And on season six, we've been going through the book of 2 Peter. We're looking at his last words to the church as he is about to go, as he called it, on his departure, his exodus out of this world into the next. And so we're going to look at that and just glean what we can from the Word of God. So I want to thank you for joining me. I know there's a lot of podcasts, a lot of things that you can be doing with your time, but you've decided to take time to join me. And so I am grateful for that. I see that as a sacred trust that God would allow me to speak into your life the Word of God more than my voice or my words. The Word of God, that's the heavy burden that I have, is to just share the things from Scripture. We live in a time where there's a lot of falsehood, a lot of lies, a lot of things being said in culture, and we have God's Word as a sure foundation that we can cling to and hope in. And that's what the gist of what Peter is going to get at the end of chapter 1 in 2 Peter. He's talking about true prophecy. What is true prophecy? And he's holding it up against what was coming against the church, not only the persecution of the church and the things that were coming against them, but false prophets, false prophecy coming into the body of Christ, and the detriment that it is to the church, and the unhealth that it brings. And so Peter wants to make sure, kind of his last words to the church, of as he's feeding the flock and sharing with God's people the truth that God has given him in the Word of God. So that's what he does. And it made me think of how what would be the final things that I would want to say to people that I love, my wife, my kids, my grandkids, the family, friends, you know, people I go to church with, people we do life with, people in the sphere of influence at work and wherever I go, the people I work with in different settings. What would I want the final words? What would I want my life to be about? And so that's what we look at in 2 Peter. Peter is talking about, as he mentions, all things pertaining to life and godliness. We have these exceedingly great and precious promises. We are partakers of the divine nature. All the things that purchased for us by Jesus on the cross through his resurrection. If we repent and believe in Jesus, put our hope and our trust in him, we will have eternal life. We'll have all of these things, these blessings of his grace, the transforming power of God's grace, mercy, and love. All of it is ours. And then he talks about, as we looked at last time, that we are partakers of the divine nature that we have in Jesus. As we spend time with him, as we fellowship with him, he builds character around the gospel. And as we abide in him and his word abides in us, that we will bear fruit. And that's what we looked at last time. Well, Peter talks about in the rest of this first chapter, as he's building a foundation before he leaves, he says, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you." Stirring up means to, by way of reminder, you know, rekindling a fire in you around these essential doctrines, these essential truths. Peter's saying, I want you to be ready for what's coming with this heavy persecution, false teaching, false prophecies. I see it on the horizon, and it's even started now. I want you to have your life built on a foundation of truth in Jesus. He says, I don't want to be negligent of this, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, speaking of his body, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. So Peter's going to launch into a scene in his life. He's thinking back on, remember, Peter spent a lot of time with Jesus. But there was an instance where he, James, and John went up on a mountain. And Jesus, as it were, peeled back the veil of his tabernacle, of his body, and revealed his glory. That he transfigured before them, white as this bright light that was so powerful, it left a lasting impression. Where Peter's talking about it here, and he's saying, this wasn't, we didn't make this up. We didn't go in a back room somewhere and make up some doctrine so that people will follow us, and you know, we could have this great power and prestige and money and all these things, influence. That's not what's happening. He said this was something that radically transformed our life, that changed our life forever, that set our path and course to eternity. We got to see the power of Jesus. We were eyewitnesses. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. So they heard the voice of the Father, the voice of God, the voice of Yahweh. What a powerful scene. This is what the Father said of Jesus. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And when we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Peter is reminiscing on a powerful truth, something that happened in his life that was miraculous and beautiful. It was the voice of the Father speaking in to humanity, where heaven touches earth, and spoke of and testified of who Jesus was, the beloved Son. All of the Old Testament prophecies spoke of this anointed one, this Messiah, the begotten one, as Psalm 2 talks about, the one who the Father would send to represent him to the world. And this is what Peter got to experience. And so we have this prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Now here's the key verse. So read with me here. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. No prophecy that God gives in the Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, whatever the case may be, it's not something that man contrived, that man came up with. This is something that came from the very heart and presence of God. It did not come from man. He says here, for no prophecy ever came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. How did we get the written word? How did we get what we hold in our hands? Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And there's a compare and contrast here with what Peter's going to talk about in chapter 2. False prophets, false prophecy originates out of the evilness of men's hearts to draw people to themselves, to draw people away to false ideologies and false doctrines and false idols and demonic forces that would draw people away from the very presence of God. The rebellion of these supernatural, you know, creatures that would draw people away from the Lord. The spiritual battle wages over truth and error. And there's a lot of ideologies that are presented to us as seemingly true. And Peter would say, if it didn't originate with God, then it's not true. How do we know this? What has been revealed in Scripture? As these people wrote it down, Peter having this written down, so that we know it's from God. And it all speaks of the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's confirmed. Scripture with Scripture. And now there's apparent contradictions. There's apparently apparent things that we would say, well, it doesn't make sense. But if you search it out, God will reveal it. And Scripture with Scripture will make sense. And that's a lifelong pursuit and study. And only God can reveal that to you. But the Word of God, how did we get it? God gave it to us. It's His love letter to us as humanity to speak of the Lord. And that's why Peter thinks about what Jesus revealed and what the Father spoke in confirming that Jesus was truly the beloved Son, the Messiah who was sent to live and die, to be buried, to rise again, to reveal Himself to hundreds of witnesses, eyewitnesses of who He was in His resurrected body, and then He ascends to the Father. He is right now ever living to make intercession for His people. This is what it's about. So there is true prophecy. The thing that we have to be able to come before the Lord in prayer and consider as we think about this, because there's a lot of world religions, there's a lot of things that are claiming to be the truth or the way. But when we come to the Scripture, what saith the Lord? What does His Word say? Jesus said of Himself, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through Me. And we have to come back to what Scripture has said and the claims that it makes, comparing it to all these other world religions and say, God, is this true? And in an honesty of heart, humble ourselves and say, what is truth? And the Lord will show you. And I'm not afraid to send people to the Word of God, to Scripture. There's going to be things that we're going to wrestle with. There's going to be things that seem difficult to understand. But I know that God is big enough. And even though the Bible seems scary, it's something that God will reveal to people. And we'll study it lifelong and still be uncovering the treasure that it is. I hope that you will pray through these things and allow the Lord to minister to you the truths of Scripture.